This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? This is one of 2 weeks each year that Moody Radio asks for your support. Please help by calling 800-600-9624 or give at moodyradio.org.
Please enjoy the following pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equipped with Chris Brooks, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Why don't you strap on your seatbelt? We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, through the lens of the biblical worldview. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And with that, I welcome you into a very interactive edition of Equip. You're certainly going to want to call. The phone number is 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. Let me start with a thank you. I want to say thanks to all of our partners that make this possible. We could not be here if it was not for God's grace and your generosity. So thank you for generously giving to Equip. If you have been blessed by the wisdom and the resources of our guests, if you've been encouraged in your passion for Jesus, if you have felt equipped to think critically and live compassionately, then we are doing our job. We would ask that you would consider giving a generous gift that will allow us to be able to not only meet our budget, but to plan for the year ahead. There are so many that are in need of the hope, the salvation, the grace that comes through Christ alone. And you and I partnering together allows us to be able to shine bright the light of the love of Jesus in your community. So thanks to Hector in Miramar, Florida, for your gift to the ministry. Thanks again to Michelle in Macomb, Michigan, right in my backyard. I appreciate you. Thanks to Mary from Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks to all of you who are supporting the program. The phone number to do that is 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. If you could call today, it would be great. Let's make today a Giving Friday. But also, if you find it more convenient, go to our website, equipradio.org. Today, I want to go right to our topic. And in many ways, today is a day of prayer for those of you who have ever felt like your life is beyond repair. If you know what it's like to be in a season in which your life seems to be marked by an overwhelming sense of hopelessness, maybe you are far too acquainted with depression, maybe you have a history of abuse that has never really been dealt with, and all of that trauma has caused you to see yourself in a way that maybe makes you feel like you are broken uniquely, that somehow you are unfixable. Today is your program. Today, I want to remind you that God is a God of hope, that He has a promise for your future, that if you can surrender your brokenness to Him, He can take your mess and make it into His message. Today, I'm so grateful to be joined by Dr. Noe Garcia. He has written a book called Repurposed: How God Turns Your Mess into His Message. He's a senior pastor at North Phoenix Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not jealous at all that he's there, but I appreciate him joining me today. He and his wife have four children. Noe holds a doctorate degree of ministry in executive leadership from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's also an adjunct professor at Gateway Seminary and a writer for Lifeway Voices. Most of all, he's passionate about reaching and equipping people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Noe, how are you today, brother?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
You know, I think your book shatters misconceptions that are often assumed. When I read your brief bio, a lot of people will think, well, here's someone who clearly must have come from a stable home, must have come up in a home that has the, you know, the large print Bible on the coffee table, devotions every night, everything was peaceful, and was raised in the scriptures, raised in a healthy environment, never struggled, and went on to obviously be a pastor, which you were destined to be. But the fact of the matter is that scripture debunks that myth, even though we often fall for it again and again and again, and it certainly is not your story. Talk a little bit about why you wrote Repurposed and in your life as a child.
Yeah, you know, I let me speak first to my life as a child, and it'll play into why I wrote this. My dad is from Mexico. My mom is from Houston, Texas. My mom grew up in a very dysfunctional home, as did my father. They escaped their homes by running away with each other. I believe my mom was in the eighth grade when she dropped out of school, and my father in the ninth grade. They drop out, run away together. My mom becomes pregnant at the age of 16. From there, they continued having children. My father continued the generational curse that he experienced, which was drinking, alcohol, womanizing. And so I grew up in a household seeing my father drunk 6 days out of the week, cussing, beating my mother, throwing dishes against the wall, punching holes in the wall. There was just constant just dysfunction and abuse. Wow. And so, you know, as a young child, I just kept thinking, I can't wait till I get older so I can defend my mother. That was my aim and goal. Well, I never got to get older to do that. My father came in one day. I remember it like it was yesterday. He beat my mother, passed out drunk. She took money out of his pocket. We called a taxi. And that was the last relationship I had with him. They ended up getting a divorce, and he had visitation rights, but never picked us up on the weekend. I waited and waited. It's a movie. Typical. I would look out the window for hours waiting for that car to come around the corner at my apartment complex, and it never came. Anger, bitterness, forsakenness, betrayal, you name it, it sat in my heart. I didn't know it. I didn't know what it was. But it began to mold this bitter, angry, disturbed little boy. I began to hang out with different, you know, quote unquote gang members, and just because they accepted me. I began to break into homes, apartment complexes, break into cars, steal things from stores. I started using drugs. Whatever they put in front of me, I did just to be accepted. I wanted to be affirmed. I wanted to be loved. My mother became the alcoholic. She became my father to us. And so I was abused by her physically, emotionally, and she was just a broken single mom. I went to about 10 different schools, lived in about 16 different homes. And so at this point, I'm just broken, I'm hurting, and I'm lashing out. 18 years old, I was looking at going to play college basketball, made some poor decisions. Long story short, attempted suicide. Just broken. I went to East Texas Baptist University, played basketball, ran cross country, and didn't know if I fit. I went there just to play ball. Ended up giving my life to Christ. Didn't know where I fit in this whole Christian thing, to be honest with you. Nobody was sharing. You know, if anyone shared what they were going through or what they went through of the past, you know, 6 years ago, I dealt with this, and it was always so distant. Nobody was really even talking about the deep, ugly stuff, the everyday wrestles. And so I didn't know where I fit. I thought there was something wrong with me, that I had such an ugly past and made such stupid decisions. And then I thought, like, man, these things still haunt me. Like, I'm still tempted by some of this stuff. You know, I was 18, 19 years old, but nobody was talking about it. And so I just thought, well, I'm a Christian, but I shouldn't expect to be used by God. All of them who were raised in Christian homes, who haven't done too much wrong, those are the one God is going to use. And, you know, I was right in the sense that, yes, God's going to use them. I was wrong in the sense that I couldn't be used.
Yeah.
So that that really sparked just a full surrender, called to ministry, and long story short, led to me writing this book in all transparency and authenticity.
You know, I appreciate you sharing quite honestly what is common about so many of our lives, but somewhere along the way, you are taught either directly or indirectly that as a Christian, you can't share your struggle in real time, or somehow you're taught that you have to clean up the broken pieces of your life. And that neither is true. The fact of the matter is that the gospel is for broken people like you, like me. God doesn't save good people because there aren't any good people. He only saves broken, messed up, bad people because that's all there is. Yeah. But he makes such beautiful things out of our lives. I guess my question for you is, there's always a who in an author's mind when you're writing a book. So who did you write this for? And what do you hope people get when they read it?
You know, it's for that lost person who feels like they are too dirty to be loved by a great God. They are too dirty to be forgiven. They are too dirty to be used. They are too broken to be loved. That person who is hopeless and is wondering, what can you do with my life? And if you can do anything, here it is for that person to let them know, this is why I'm so raw and transparent. I talk about my suicide attempt. I talk about my sins. I talk about I was molested as a kid. Like, man, that stuff isn't easy to put out there. I understand that I opened myself up for criticism and attacks, and I'm being too raw and transparent. But my goodness, people have to understand how deep and how dirty God is willing to get his hands so that people will come to a place of accepting and receiving his love and recognizing we are sinners and we are broken. But God, you know, he gets his hand dirty for us. It's okay. It's okay to understand that and talk about those things. And when we don't, we cheapen his power and we cheapen his glory when we cover up the true brokenness that's there. And we don't allow others to see the hope in their mess. So it's for that lost person who feels like they're way too gone. They're not. They're not at all. And then it's for the Christian who's always been told it's great if your sins were in the past before Christ, but if your sins are in the present, that's a different story. See, that's where we're wrong, because the cross is not only sufficient for salvation, but it's sufficient for sanctification. And yes, we can't just leave Jesus at the cross. We have to understand that when we said, I do, it means that it's through thick and thin, for better or for worse. And he's not going to leave us nor forsake us on our worst day or on our best day. His love still remains the same. And so, man, it's for that Christian, for that pastor, for that believer who is saying, I love him, but why can I stop sinning? I love him, but does my sin disqualify me from being used by him? It's for that person who just in a broken, hopeless place. And man, I so desperately want them to see his word and his truth, and to know that his truth trumps all lies and whispers from the enemy. His word is like a roaring lion. May they hear the power of the voice of a lion instead of the whispers of the snake.
So good. You know, I just want to say, as we get ready to go to the break, that Pastor Noe and I are here today, not just to share the details of his book, and we're going to do that. We're going to answer some really, really big questions, but we're also here because we would love to pray with you. We would love to be your prayer partner today. Maybe you don't have a prayer partner. Maybe you don't have someone who is close enough for you to be not only safe and honest with, but close enough to pray with you. We would love to play that role in your life today. Why don't you give us a call, 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. And maybe you are that Christian who feels that there's no freedom for you on the other side of your sin. There is. Or maybe you have yet to believe. Maybe you don't profess faith in Christ. And part of it is because you feel like you're unsavable or unfixable. We'd love to hear from you as well. 877-LIVE-675 is the number. That's 877-548-3675. What does the gospel have to say about shame? Does the gospel answer our shames? Well, we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. Much more to come next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. Forming your son into a man who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth won't just happen, but it's a skill he can learn as you lead him. Lies Boys Believe is a lie-busting, truth-telling book, and it comes with a parent guide, too. We'll equip you to train your son to love and trust God's word. These two resources are yours with the gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or give online at equipradio.org. Noe Garcia is my guest today, taking your calls at 877-LIVE-675. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to get to your calls as well. What an amazing story. So much pain and brokenness. I was reading the section of your suicide attempt at age 18, and I thought to myself, how many young adults out there are about to try to solve temporary problems with a permanent solution that will lead to death? And we want you to live, and God wants you to live, have life more abundantly. Chapter one of your book is just simply entitled Shame. What does the gospel have to say to us about shame?
Oh man, you know, I think we can all understand shame on different levels, right? And the one thing I say in the book is shame ties us to the past. It keeps us stuck in the present and blinds us to the future. And it keeps us in this cycle of almost unforgiveness, you know. And I wrote it because I recognize that it's so hard to comprehend unconditional love from God when I've lived a life of being loved so conditionally by others. And so, you know, Romans 8, verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so let me share why I wrote this. Shame is a consequence of our sin. And I am not saying that we are sinless or that we are not guilty, because we are. And this verse says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. I love this word now. It's right now, today, in the present. It means we don't have to wait for this forgiveness, but today. And that word condemnation is a legal term, right? It's someone who has been condemned, who has been sentenced based off of their guilt. And when I break this down in the book, I want people to understand we are guilty. I am not saying we're not guilty. We are guilty of our sin. It is there. Yes. But here's the great news, that because of the cross of Christ, it has lost its sting. It has lost its power. Now, are there consequences for our sin? Absolutely. But the great thing, that when we're in Christ and there is no condemnation, it means that that shame and that sin doesn't have the authority, doesn't have the right to sit in God's judgment seat and declare anything over us. It doesn't have the right to play judge and sentence us to anything, because that is God's rightful seat, and he has declared it, and he has sentenced us based off of Christ. And when we allow shame to play the role of judge, man, that's when we live in fear, because that's when we are on the other side of the judge's desk, and the judge in that moment is shame. But we have to understand that shame has lost its power. It doesn't have any authority of us, nor can it declare and give us a future sentence. Christ has done that on the cross. We are guilty, but because God, our judge, has sentenced us through his son, we can live and walk in freedom. And therefore, we don't have to live in the dark and be shameful. We can bring our sin out to the light. You know, the enemy's battle is in the dark. Our battle's out in the light, and he loses out in the light. And so when you bring that up, shame and that sin loses its power. Psalm 32, David said, you know, when he kept the sin to himself, when he kept silent, he felt like God's hand was heavy upon him, and he felt like his bones were wasting away. But when he confessed, right, when this freedom came out, saying, you know what, God, this is embarrassing. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. God is the one who has authority to deal with that. Everyone else, yes, they will say things. The enemy will whisper things. But, man, God has the power, and he is the only judge.
Yeah, I love that. You say in your book, when we are set free by God, we are loved with an unchangeable love that keeps us free no matter what struggle we face. Praise God for that truth. I want to go to the phone line. Sylvester has been listening patiently in Chicago. Hey, Sylvester, thank you so much for listening, brother. What's your comment for Pastor Noe?
Hey, Pastor, I was just so happy to listen to the program on my way out to work. And what caught my attention is that, you know, it's nothing that you can do, no sin, no situation that you can be too far from God. You know, I confess as Christ as my Lord and Savior, but it's a lot of things that I struggle with that I hate, and it upsets me because I say to myself, do God, am I really saved? Do God really love me? Am I just a waste of time? Because that's how I feel sometimes, because when I do wrong, you know, it's not like when I do wrong, I feel good and I can go through the day smiling. No, it bothers me, you know, and a part of me say, and I know that I'm saved, but it's just certain things that I just give in to my weakness. And I just not want to do that.
Man, well, you know what? First off, I just want you to know how courageous it is for you to call and just be honest and confessing your sin. And clearly, it is evident your love for God. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, Sylvester. And one of the ways we want to bless you today is we're going to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Garcia's book. And there's also this accompanying Bible study. It's a wonderful 8-week Bible study, 8 sessions. And all I'm going to ask you to do is just make an 8-week commitment. Just an 8-week commitment to walk through this Bible study with Pastor Noe. And I just am going to pray that God's Spirit will be at work setting you free, because the same Spirit that saved you, regenerated you, made you new, is the same Spirit of God that sanctifies you allows you to experience progressive freedom. Father, I thank you for Sylvester. I thank you today that it was not a mistake that he listened. Today is no coincidence. You see him, you love him, and you have saved him. You call him son. And Lord, I just pray that you would help him to be conformed into the image of Christ. Free him from the bondage of sin and the patterns of iniquity that has plagued his life. Help him to walk in the freedom that we have in Christ, Lord. Thank you that your Spirit is alive within him, so he is already an overcomer. He is already victorious in Christ. Bless our brother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Sylvester, you stay on the line. Our producer will get your information. Pastor Noe, what does it do for your heart when you hear stories and callers like Sylvester?
That's why I wrote this book. Man, the enemy is such a liar and wants to hold us down in shame. And I just think, you know, I love Sylvester's heart, man. And like you said, the courage and boldness. And I, you know, I was thinking the very fact that he's so bothered, all I can think about is Romans 7, when Paul is saying, who's going to save me from this body of death? What a wretched man that I am when the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do, I do. And that is not a justification for sin. It's really not. I don't think we should lower the standard of holiness. But I think it's important to open the window of grace to help Sylvester understand you are not alone. We all understand that battle. And the very fact that he's so bothered by it, I believe is a great revealer that the Holy Spirit is working in him. That's why he's so bothered by it. And so that's why I wrote this book. And so that guys like Sylvester and women just can have hope, can have hope.
Hope is something that we all need. And I promise you, when you repurpose, you'll find it. Let's go to Angela, who's listening in Franklin, Tennessee. Hey, Angela, I wanted to get you in before a break. What's your comment today? Angela, we just lost Angela. Angela, if you can, give us a call back. I'm sure she was on a cell phone. You call us back. The rest of you that are online, we're going to get to you today. I believe that Pastor Noe's put together a wonderful book that will help you to see yourself not through the eyes of what others have said about you, or even what you've said about yourself, but through God's eyes. I also want to, when we come back, Pastor Garcia, I want to talk about the workbook that goes along with it as well, so that others will be able to participate. What a great resource. What is philophobia? We're going to talk about that. That's a big, big word, but it's something that many, many of us have struggled with, and something that I believe you're going to experience hope, help, and healing when you hear Pastor Garcia not only define the word, but talk about how Christ helps us to overcome this fear. Also want to encourage you to go to our website. That's equippedradio.org, equippedradio.org. There you can find out more about Pastor Garcia, as well as the book and the resource. Go to our website, equippedradio.org. As always, we're available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on social media. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at Equip Radio. For those of you who are calling in to 877-LIVE-675, we're going to try to get to as many of your calls as possible. What does the gospel have to say about our suffering? Pastor Garcia is going to talk about that as well on the other side of this break. Much more to come next up on Equip with Chris Brooks.
You're listening to a pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Welcome back to Equipped with Chris Brooks. If today you feel like you're broken beyond repair, that your life is full of pain and discouragement and overwhelming hopelessness, I believe today's your program. God wants to remind you that He has a hope for your future, that there is purpose in your pain, and that there's a promise for your life, that brokenness does not have to be the final chapter of your story. He wants to repurpose your life, turn your mess into His message. I don't think there's a coincidence. I think it is God's intended will that you've tuned in today. You can call and join our conversation with Pastor Noe Garcia at 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. I also want to encourage you to consider not only getting a copy of the book, but Pastor Garcia, can you quickly just talk about the 8-session Bible study?
Absolutely. What I wanted to do is take a deeper exegetical approach. I wanted to take a look at God's word and really break it down and sit down and have time to marinate in it. So this 8-week Bible study series really is meant for individual study. Someone who just wants to study alone and dig into God's word and see how His word really does restore, repair, gives purpose to our pain and what He has to say about it. And then it's also meant for a small group setting, to be able to come together with a group of people you trust, love, and know, talk about the deep wounds, talk about our struggles, talk about the cycle of sin. And then what does God's word have to say about that? And so it was made for that as well. And so 8 weeks, covering all the verses meant and intended to help restore, give hope, and give life to people.
Let's go to the phone lines. Angela is listening. I think we have Angela back from Franklin, Tennessee. Hey, Angela, are you there?
You have me, but my phone is not a good phone, and it's on speaker.
You know what? That's all right. That's all right. You fought through it, and you made it on, so I'm grateful. What's on your heart today? What do you want to say to Pastor Garcia?
I'm in a spiritual warfare. Satan is attacking me. The call getting cut off is just another, you know.
Yeah.
It's just proof, you know. And I was searching for something today. Not, you know, I'm out wandering around aimlessly, and I never listened to talk radio. I never listened to anything like this. And something just when I heard him speaking and sharing his testimony, it touched me. And I needed to hear this today, and I just want him to know how much I appreciate him. Just to give you briefly, I'm homeless, I'm carless, I'm jobless. Mm. I've been through it lately, and it's tough. And you know, I just pray for me, and thank you so much for your testimony, because there's not enough people out there that care enough to, you know, put the word out there and make people feel okay when it's when they're not, you know.
Angela, I want you to know God sees you, and I'm praying today, and I'm going to ask Pastor Noe to pray for you, but I'm praying that today will be the day of transformation for your life. I'm praying that today will begin a healing process for you. I'm praying for a miracle, and the greatest miracle of all is that you would sense God's presence near you. He loves you, and I don't know all the root causes for the brokenness, but I know it's not because God is forsaking you. Mm-hmm. He sees you. He cares for you. And the fact that there are literally hundreds of thousands of people that listen to this program that could have called in, but the fact you got through tells me that God wanted you to be reminded today that He is with you. Pastor Noe, can you encourage and pray for Angela?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we pray for our sister Angela, God, and we don't know, we don't understand why sometimes we get to the place of our life, we feel so hopeless and broken and discouraged. And God, maybe she's just wanting a touch from you, wanting to sense you and be reminded. And maybe she's even asking the question, why is this so hard? Why is this happening, God? And Lord, I just pray. I pray that you take her to a place, Father, and you meet her there in the midst of that valley. You remind her that you have not forsaken her. You remind her that you are not punishing her. And you remind her, Father, that you are there with her. And so, God, I just pray out of this brokenness and this place of despair, that she meets you in a way that she's never known you, Father, that you take her to the depths of who you are, that she'll never forget. I've been there, God. I've been there, and I've been hopeless. I was suicidal. I question your love for me. But please, Father, we ask you that she hangs on to your truth and she doesn't believe the enemy during these times. The enemy is going to want to tell her because there's pain and suffering that you are absent. But, Father, we know that the fact that pain and suffering is present doesn't mean that you are absent. So, Lord, be with her. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, when I hear stories like Angela's, you know, it can feel like, man, that is a story of absolute despair. Hmm. But yet, for me, when I hear that, Pastor Garcia, it's almost as if God is setting her up for a miracle and a testimony. And that really is what your book is all about. Talk about the subtitle, How God Turns Your Mess Into His Message.
Yeah, so I wanted, you know, that word mess, we all define that differently. When you hear our mess, you know, I go back to the things that have been done to me and the things that I've done wrong. When you say it or define it, Pastor Chris, it's our own personal stuff. But whatever we have to bring and insert into that word, I think it still remains true. I think that statement's still true. Whatever that mess is, he really can take it to a place where he turns it into his message. And so his gospel, his story. I often recognize that I made a mess because I was the author of my own life. And when I finally felt like, you know what, I'm giving you the pen, you be the author, you be the main character. It's, if I can give a visual, it's like God, you know, took this pen or pencil and just began to make edits out of my mess and grammatical errors. And he began to clean it all up. And now the consequences of my sin were still there, still lingered. But now I had hope in the midst of it. And so that's why I did the subtitle the way I did that. I wanted people to understand we really can bring anything to the table. We really can bring anything. Yes. And he is that good of a God to take it and use it for our good and for his glory.
All right. I'm going to try to pronounce this word again, brother, and you're going to have to help me. What is philophobia? Did I say that right?
Philophobia.
Philophobia. Okay. All right. Thanks for correcting me. What
it's
is
all
it?
Good. So it's the fear of loving or being loved. The fear of loving or being loved. So I came up with that word, not in originated, but the reason why I chose to use that in chapter 3, I felt like that word defined and even sometimes still defines who I am. You know, being raised, whenever your father walks out and you're beaten and you're abused physically, emotionally, spiritually, by those who are supposed to love you, it did something to me to where if that was love, I didn't want it. And so, so the fear of being loved or loving, let me share this for a minute. For me, I didn't want to give my love because when I tried that with my own family, I just felt like I was vulnerable and abused and rejected. And in return for me extending love, I received a broken heart, if I can give a visual there. And so I learned and I trained myself to never allow myself to be hurt. The way I would do that is I would put up walls so thick and so deep that I wouldn't give anyone the privilege to come into my life to get to a place where they had the opportunity and power and authority to hurt me. So my life was filled with a trail of broken relationships. When I dated in college or as a young man, I would put girls I dated through a trial run. I wanted to see how long would they put up with my junk? How long would they put up with my stuff? How long would they stay? And if they couldn't endure it, and what I did, it wasn't anything crazy. I'd bring them home to my crazy family. It's like, all right, let's see. Are they willing to be a part of this or is this going to freak them out?
Yeah.
And I just had this wall up and I wanted to see who would stay and how long they would stay. And when they left because they could never get through or wasn't emotionally engaged enough, I'd tell myself, oh, see, I was right. There goes another one who left. And I was protecting myself from being hurt. And so I would, and if someone ever did begin to get close to my heart and I began to see, they have the potential to hurt me. I love them. I would reject them and get them out of my life. I would hurt them first before they hurt me. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to receive it. I didn't know how to give it. And if I'm being honest, Pastor Chris, I am still learning that. Man, I am still learning. What does that mean to love like Jesus? Because if my definition of love is based off of my upbringing, I don't know what that is. And so having to redefine this word, this gospel love is what I'm still walking through. So,
yeah, I appreciate you being honest about that. You know, as we go to our last break, I think about Romans chapter 8, this shining diamond in the midst of the New Testament. And I think about this philophobia and what Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Praise God for that truth. We need to be reminded of that each and every day. What a gift and blessing it is to have Pastor Noe Garcia here with us. One more segment after this, but these breaks are only opportunities for you to learn more about our guest and the resource. Go to our website, equipradio.org. While you're there, consider giving your most generous gift. We'll be right back right after this. As a dad, a friend, and a neighbor, I share your concerns over the growing problems in our culture. That's why on Equip, we tackle the tough issues, learning how to respond with grace and truth. We're looking for like-minded partners to stand with us. Would you be willing to become an Equipper today? In this role, you'll give a monthly donation to support the ministry of Equip. And as an Equipper, you'll receive insider benefits, such as a bi-weekly email that contains pastoral messages prepared just for you. Become an Equipper today by calling 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Going to go to the phone lines at 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. Pastor Noe Garcia is my guest today. The book is Repurposed, How God Turns Your Mess into His Message. Just real practical, but deeply biblical, and I think connecting the struggles that we all have, bringing them to the light, because the enemy thrives in the darkness, and connecting us to the hope we have in Christ. Let's go to David, who's listening in Cleveland, Tennessee. David, hey, thanks for your patience. Thanks for listening, brother. What's your question for Pastor Garcia?
Hello, Chris, Pastor Garcia. I hope I can get through this without crying. You know, I was just like him. I was a product of divorces, and I didn't have a father figure, and I've had a hard time growing up myself. I even went through a divorce myself. On April the 5th, 2009, 8:14 a.m., I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and there still seems to be pet sins around it. You know, the devil knows you more better than anybody. He likes to throw them up in your face at the opportune time, and I just have problems sometimes getting rid of them. I mean, I know I'm a Christian, and still I just have difficulty. Yeah. I was just wondering what he thought on that.
First off, I'm grateful for you, brother. What a testimony, and I'm so glad that you have given your life to the Lord, and I want you to know that you're in a safe place just calling in today, that Pastor Garcia and I are certainly not here to judge you but to encourage you. But, Pastor Garcia, I think David represents so many people. What do you do with those sins that seem to plague your life even after you're a believer, that maybe you're even too ashamed or afraid to confess to your friends or your pastor?
Yeah, you know, I have. David, thank you for your transparency, openness, and honesty. Let me first say this, and I hope it gives you some hope and encouragement. You are not alone in this struggle. I don't know exactly what sins you're dealing with, nor do I need to know, but I do know this, that you are not alone. You are not alone. We are all a work in progress. Sanctification is a process, and I know the enemy wants to pain us, but the fact that you are wrestling with this doesn't mean you're not saved, not forgiven. I have four children, David, and there are things that my children do over and over and over again, and I cannot for the life of me understand. As many conversations as we have, they continue to go back to that same sinful pattern. Do I want them to stop? Absolutely. But I'll tell you this, I have not once ever turned them away because of their pattern or cycle of sin. I don't approve of it. I don't like it. I wish they didn't. But man, I'll tell you, it has never changed my love for them. Why do I say this and why do I use this? I use Romans 7 a lot. And not for justification to sin, but a reminder of my humanity and my depravity. And we will not stop sinning. Again, I don't want to swim in the ocean of grace, but I want to use it as a net to catch me when I fall. But the truth is, because we're broken, we're deprived, we are not whole until he comes back, and we are not complete until that day. And there's going to be a wrestle with sin. There's going to be that battle. Paul speaks of it. But I just want to encourage you. The enemy is going to want to shame you, and you are right. He knows. He watches our life. He knows the playbook of our lives, and we've given him the playbook, so he knows. And so what I would tell you is not to be defeated in this. Don't let him paralyze you and keep you in this rut of shame. But what I would share with you is several things. Number one, confession is key. When you confess, he loses his power. He loses and when we don't confess, shame has us running when nobody's chasing us. Mm. When we don't confess, we're hiding when nobody's looking for us. But when we confess, and I'm not saying you have to go on social media, but find a trusted brother. When you confess, it loses that power, but then put in accountability. Because just because you confess doesn't mean he's not going to come back and try again. And so put in that accountability around you and continue to walk and walk towards the victory. How can you become victorious in these areas and keep moving forward? When you fall, get back up. And I want to encourage you with that. There's a lot there, I know, but that's what I want to encourage you. This is why I wrote this book, so that his truth, his scripture, will trump any false emotions that we are feeling, because we feel shameful when we sin. We feel worthless. We feel like we don't deserve to be loved by him. We feel like we don't deserve his blessings. And so that's not the truth. Hold on to his scripture to combat those lies.
David, you stay on the line. We're going to give you a complimentary copy of Pastor Garcia's book, Repurposed. I believe it's going to bless your life. Pastor Garcia, we got about 60 seconds left. I wish we had an extra hour, brother, but I want you to maybe close quickly by explaining to us, what does it mean when the Bible says we are more than conquerors? What does it mean to be more than a conqueror?
This word conqueror in that portion of the text means surpassing victory. And so this more than conquerors means that the victory is already there. And it wasn't only a victory, it was a surpassing victory. It's when David cuts off Goliath's head. He is showing this is not coming alive. Goliath has lost its power. Us believers in Jesus Christ, yes, there are battles. Yes, there are sins. Yes, there are hardships. But we don't fight for victory. We fight to victory. The scoreboard has been set. We win. It's done. So we have a surpassing victory, and we can walk in that confidence that we are more than conquerors.
Pastor Noe Garcia has been my guest. He is the senior pastor at North Phoenix Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. I want you to do me a favor, brother, and thank Clancy for allowing you to hang out with us for this past hour. I appreciate you, your family, and more than anything else, thankful for the way that God's grace has redeemed your story and your life. God bless you, brother.
Thank you for having me, Pastor Chris. I appreciate it.
Folks, you may be finding yourself in Pastor Garcia's story, and maybe you can resonate with what he said, or maybe it feels kind of far from you. Maybe you say, yeah, I've known some brokenness, but not that deep of a broken life. Well, no matter where you find yourself at, here's what we do know. We all need a Savior. Salvation is found in Christ alone. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Don't hide in the shame. Be honest about where you are. And that doesn't mean everyone needs to know your business. I'm not saying you got to go do a social media post right now about your weakness or your brokenness, but find a believer who will pray with you, a pastor who will walk with you. But know this, God is always there for you. So if you can't find anyone else, turn to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He alone is able to save us. Well, until we're together again next time, remember, get in church. And never forget that Equipped with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.